China's blazing economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. China grew like wildfire in the first quarter. Today, the government said GDP growth was 11% higher than last year. In March, inflation hit its highest level in 2 years. Investment is pouring into the country. Exports are booming. All this despite China's attempts to rein things in a bit. So the next step might be raising interest rates. And the stock markets aren't going to like that. Today in Shanghai, stocks dropped almost 5%. Across Asia, shares were down. The European markets also fell in the early going. But yesterday on Wall Street, the Dow gained 30 points to reach a new all-time high of 12,803. Tech stocks didn't fare so well. The NASDAQ dropped 6. The S&P 500 added 1 point. A top deputy at the World Bank has reportedly told bank president Paul Wolfowitz to step down. Wolfowitz has admitted he helped arrange a new job and a raise for his girlfriend. She's still on the payroll at the World Bank. But the White House is still supporting Wolfowitz. And ousting him could be new territory for the bank. Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Former bank historian Johan Kraske says no board has ever fired a bank president.
This is the first time that there is a president who allegedly has done things that are not proper.
The board does have the power to fire Wolfowitz, but the politics are tricky. The board's international members are kind of like the Wizard of Oz. They look powerful, but peek behind the curtain and you'll see they're just mid-level bureaucrats. George Washington University professor William Becker says their bosses, who are top government leaders, will call the shots on Wolfowitz.
To remove a president would is a very high-level political decision that policymakers would have to decide if they wanted to take the United States on about this.
Just yesterday, President Bush said he had full confidence in Wolfowitz. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Is it possible Iraq has twice as much oil as we thought? Iraq has the world's third largest reserves, 116 billion barrels of crude. But a new study from consultant IHS says Iraq could be sitting on another 100 billion barrels. That's provided security improves and the Iraqi government can spend $25 billion tapping it. In this country, it might not be so easy to find your favorite fruit at the grocery store in the coming months. Weather has devastated crops in the southeast. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
First, a brief warm spell accelerated crop planting and tree growth. Then, 2 weeks ago, a cold air mass settled in. Fragile peach and apple tree buds were no match for the deep freeze. Bill Carson owns the Alta Pass apple orchard along North Carolina's Blue Ridge Mountains.
We had 3 nights in a row of 17 degrees temperature, and all the blossoms are dead. We have lost what appears at this moment to be the entire crop from 3,000 apple trees.
The apple crop took its worst hit in 50 years, but wheat, pecan, blueberry, and blackberry producers were also damaged. Preliminary crop losses topped $100 million in North Carolina alone, and last weekend, strong winds and rain hurt the buds that did manage to make it through the freeze. Some consumers could face higher prices or shortages in coming months. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Medtronic, applauding the many contributions of America's volunteers. You can find volunteer opportunities in your community today by visiting volunteermatch.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Some economists watching the current state of the economy see a couple of disturbing signs. It takes them back to the 1970s. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us. Chris, what are they doing? Breaking out the old disco albums?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, getting up the bell bottoms and, you know, trying to do. And what they're doing is reaching back into the past, the 1970s, to try and understand what's going to happen tomorrow in one word keeps coming up. I read it again and again in the Wall Street Research. Stagflation.
It's such an ugly word.
Isn't it? Stagflation. And it really is bad. It's really the worst of both worlds. You have slow, stagnant economic growth. And you have inflation, high and rising inflation.
Well, how big of a threat is stagflation right now?
Well, to a large extent, I think the stagflation concern is an exercise in historical imagination. I mean, there's some sort of fun things that you can talk about. For example, anchovies.
Anchovies?
If we go back to the early 1970s, bad anchovy harvest off the coast of Peru. And a lot of economists and policymakers and even members of the Fed would talk about that this lack of anchovies, which, by the way, anchovies are very important to fertilizer, which is very important to farming, that the lack of anchovies was a shock to the system that helped contribute to high and rising prices. So the question I have, the price of corn with ethanol. We see price of corn going up. Food is getting more expensive. The Fed is worried about high and rising prices. So you can start having fun, you know, drawing these historical analogies. And that's when I say, okay, let's calm down. Stagflation in the 1970s, double-digit inflation, double-digit interest rates, double-digit unemployment. We're nowhere near that right now. I don't think it's a big threat. We have a Fed that is obsessed about inflation. We will not get stagflation in this economy.
Well, Chris, were you a hipster dude in the 70s?
Hey, I was a hipster wannabe, but I'm afraid I never managed to cross the line. But I did enjoy the movie, Saturday Night Fever.
Okay, Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.